This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast where we talk about the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we are. The regular season is upon us. Finally, we're going to have Washington Capitals hockey back on our TVs. It's been a while. And we're going to have a Washington Capitals hockey with a lot of new faces, a new look to this team. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens so far in this next season. There's a lot of speculation about what the Washington Capitals will be. Will they be a cup contender? Will they be a playoff team? Will they be a team that falters? Only time will tell with this new team, and let's see how these new teammates gel with our core that has not changed in a very long time. We have one of the oldest teams in the league. We know that Brian McClellan likes the older players, and he's shown that with the way that he's traded and brought guys in. But this is a new-look team. We've got some new names to know, and we've got some new names that we've got to see a little bit of in the preseason. But really, this is going to be hockey that actually means something. Now, obviously, the biggest change comes in who's in goal. Which, by the way, you know, before we even get into that, I should point out, Coach Dan is going to be here in a little bit. Due to the schedule that Coach Dan and I have, we weren't able to get together this week or even last week to do a little preview. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to talk for a little bit. Coach Dan's going to talk for a little bit. And then I'll come back at the end of the show and just talk about the games coming up. So as I was saying, let's talk a little bit about goaltending here for the Washington Capitals. Capitals, as we know, brought in Darcy Kemper and Charlie Lindgren. Now, I don't think there's any question whatsoever that the recent Stanley Cup champion, Darcy Kemper, is number one. He is our number one. Last 2 years, we've kind of gone with a 1A, 1B type of scenario, and I think we all can agree that did not work. So it's good to have Darcy Kemper here. He is our clear number one. It's his job to lose. And given the fact that he came in with such high praise from everyone involved, I think that it's going to be hard for this to slip out of his fingers. Now, even with guys like Braden Holtby, they have off nights, they need nights off. It's not like we're not going to see Charlie Lindgren, which is why I think the Capitals front office and the coaching staff wanted to bring these two guys in. These guys know very well what their job is and how to do it correctly. Where the other two guys, they were younger, they were just entering the league, and the coaching staff made it into a competition. Who's going to get the net tonight? It's up for grabs. There is no clear number one. And I think we all can agree that that just didn't work. So they're behind Darcy Kemper. They said, we're bringing you in. We like you. You're Stanley Cup champion. Let's get another ring on your finger. Let's raise that cup above our heads again. And let's do it. The defense in front of Darcy Kemper has not really changed that much. We did bring in, what, one new name, I believe? And we have our Martin Fehvari, John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, Nick Jensen, and we have Erik Gustafsson and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I think we know the majority of those names. We only have one new name there, Erik Gustafsson, and he comes with a pedigree behind him as well. So this is going to be a really good core defense. And my question to Coach Dan last show was, is this team going to be up to snuff? And this goaltender, that these two goaltenders that in Caps uniforms we've never seen before, do they have a good enough defense in front of them to play well? And I think they do. I think it works both ways. You need a good defense behind a strong goaltender. And you also need a strong goaltender behind the team. When you have a goaltender that you can't lean on, like we saw in the last 2 years, it affects the entire team. And it affects the production that they are going to have. So I think this is a strong defensive set. I think all these guys are extremely talented. Whether they work together in the long run, we'll see. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, though, he has such a good reputation for being a defenseman you can count on, that I think that we're gonna see a lot of good defense this year, and was one of Peter Laviolette's strongholds. That was one of his biggest compliments as a coach from the people surrounded by him of how much he improves the defense. So I think we're going to see that improve, and we're going to see how the defense and the goaltending work together. That's what I'm most excited to see on Wednesday night. Now, when you look at the forwards, not a lot has changed here, except there is one name that I keep hearing over and over and over again, and that is Alexei Protas. And he's a guy that every podcast I've listened to, every article I've read, so excited about this kid. He's played in every preseason game so far. He's bulked up. You can tell that he has put in the work, and I want to finally see it. Preseason's one thing. Being able to impress people in the preseason I don't want to say easy, because it's definitely not easy, but it is a lot of the stress of a regular season game is not there. So you're showing how fancy you can be, and you're not really showing like the grit and determination. But Alexei Protas has turned a lot of heads. I think that's why he earned that spot. He earned that spot for opening night, and he kind of edged out Connor McMichael, who I thought was actually going to end up in Hershey to even start the season. It seems like a lot of people have kind of soured on Connor McMichael after last year, and they're not really happy with his production. Hopefully down the road he can become a more well-rounded hockey player. I think some time in Hershey will probably do him good. That's why I said that maybe he should start there. But it seems as if he is going to be with the Capitals moving forward. Now, I don't know at the time of recording here. Doesn't look like from the practice situation that McMichael is going to be in the lineup. He may. You never know. Connor McMichael, Matt Irwin, and Joe Snively were the extras for Tuesday's practice. We'll see what the final lineup is tomorrow. As I said, I'm recording this kind of late. It's almost midnight here on Tuesday night. It's the first chance I've gotten to record. But those guys were the extras. So it looks like Protas has kind of worked his way up, and he is a second-line guy right now. He's a winger. And we're going to see that Ovi Kuznetsov-Brown line as well. Everyone was very excited about Connor Brown coming to the team and said that how impressed they are with his production. So he's a lucky guy, gets to work with those two Russians there, Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. Protas, Daniel Strome, and Anthony Mantha make up your second line. Marcus Johansson, Lars Eller, TJ Oshie make up your third line. Connor Sherry, Nick Dowd, and Garnet Hathaway, that makes up your fourth line. Those are four solid lines. I mean, look at all the talent on all four of those lines. Of course, number one line, you don't need any introduction there. Ovi, Kuznetsov, Brown. I guess the thing to look at most for that one is how does Connor Brown interact with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. So that'll be something to look out for, but we know what we're getting with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. Alexis Protas, like I said, he's the guy that everybody's been talking about in this preseason. It's finally a chance for him to show what he can do in a regular season NHL game. It's to another level. And new guy Daniel Strome there is taking over those second line duties as we wait for Nick Backstrom to heal up from his hip surgery. And Anthony Mantha, he should be having a big year. He's kind of been sidelined a little bit with injuries last year coming in with the trade from Detroit. He kind of showed everybody how good he can be in four games and then kind of like slid down a little bit production wise. Marcus Johansson, we welcome back to DC last year. Lars Eller, TJ Oshie. Hopefully TJ Oshie can stay healthy. That's my biggest concern with TJ Oshie right now. Can this guy stay healthy? He left a preseason game after getting hurt, and of course the first thing you're saying is, why is he out there during preseason? But TJ Oshie, that's my biggest concern with him. We know he has the talent. We know he's got the drive. He's a team leader. Can he stay healthy? That is my biggest question there. Connor Sherry, Nick Dowd, Garnet Hathaway, those three guys we know really well. They play well together. We are not going to see Carl Hagelin. He recently had hip surgery. And we're not going to see Tom Wilson as well, who's recovering from surgery from the offseason. We probably won't see Tom Wilson until at least December. That would be my guess. If you ask me, though, those are four solid lines right there. Four solid offensive lines. You've got some goal scorers. You've got one of the best in the world. You've got Alexis Protas, who's really impressed people. You've got a solid third line there. Lots of talent. Lars Eller, TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson. Veteran lineup right there in your third line. And then you have Connor Sherry, Nick Dowd, Garnet Hathaway, guys that know how to grind it out. Those are the guys that are going to tire out the other team. So I like that. I like those guys. This is a good lineup. This is a very good team built here. And we get to see Darcy Kuemper do his thing on Wednesday. As long as this all stays the same. It's going to be very fun. It's great to have hockey back on television. It's great to have Caps hockey back. And we're going to have a lot of fun seeing what's next for this team. Unfortunately, with all this great news and these great players on the team, a few players had to get waived. And unfortunately, Brett Leason and Axel Janssen Fjällby, the hair, the flow, they had to leave town. Brett Leason got claimed by Anaheim when Axel Janssen Fjällby was claimed by Winnipeg, unfortunately. So those guys will no longer be with the Capitals. Both guys really did well last year when COVID and injuries popped up on the team. They were able to fill in very well. It's such a shame to see this young talent, guys that the Capitals were able to draft, just leave and go out through waivers. There are certain players that they decided to keep on this opening day roster instead of sending down to Hershey that you could have kept these two guys there and they wouldn't have had to gone through waivers. But this is what the Capitals took a chance on and unfortunately didn't pay off because these two guys will be heading out of town. My hope is that Axel Janssen Fjällby, just like last year who got claimed by Buffalo, was waived a week later, the Capitals could then pick back up. Will that happen again? Will lightning strike twice? I don't know. I would really enjoy it if it did, though, because I really liked Axel Janssen Fjällby and liked Brett Leason. I think both those guys are very talented, and if not impact players this year, could be impact players a year or two down the road, because next offseason is going to be very interesting, given how many Capitals will be free agents at the end of this year. But we're just starting this year. So let's not talk about what's going to happen in June or July of this year. Okay, let's hold back a little bit of that so far. But we have our opening day lineups here. We have what we are expecting to see opening night. The Capitals will be opening the season in D.C. at Capital One Arena. And I'm excited to see what happens next. This is going to be a fun season. It's a brand new goaltending duo, and we're not going to have to wait long to see one of those guys. We are going to see Samsonov playing against the Capitals for the first time ever as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs on Thursday. So Caps have back-to-back to start the season. It's not an easy schedule, not an easy first week for the Caps here. So it's going to be great. Now I think it's time to hear what Coach Dan has to say about this upcoming season.
Hello, everyone. Sorry for the odd layout of tonight's show, but we had to make some adjustments, which were mostly due to my unscheduled bout with the flu this past week. As you'll likely hear as we go forward, I'm going to sound more and more nasally. Brandon and I were texting, and we came up with this adjusted format for the show this week as we are going into the new season. So a couple things to go over. The preseason, in my opinion, kind of went as expected. I can't say that I was too surprised from anything that came out of the preseason. I didn't really expect anyone to be pushing a veteran out of any of their spots, But I thought there's, you know, there was a pretty low chance of that happening to begin with. I know that there was a lot of talk from Hendrix LaPierre that he was going to, you know, push for everything, and that he stuck around. He came in early in the summer, and, you know, he bulked up a little bit. And I liked hearing all of those things. I just think with the moves they made this offseason, I just did not see anyone getting pushed out of a spot barring their own poor play. You know, when you go out and you sign a guy like a Dylan Strome, when you bring in a guy like Dylan Strome, when you bring in a guy like Connor Brown, when you have the lineup that you do with these veteran players, these players on one-way contracts or players who have to be put on waivers, it shows me that, or I think it shows players, it shows everybody, you kind of know what your main core, your main guys in DC are. And I think a spot for a guy like LaPierre just was never in the cards. Like it just was never going to happen barring injuries or barring one of the veteran guys, like just forgetting how to play hockey. But all the things that he's saying, all the things we're seeing from Vincent Iorio were great, because these are guys that this organization is going to turn to potentially as early as at some point this season in terms of getting a call up, because I fully expect to see both of those guys in a cap sweater at some point this season, likely as an injury call up. But there's going to be opportunities. While there's going to be opportunities for them, this is not the time for them just yet. And we hear about this all the time on Caps This Morning, where they talk about how the Caps like to overcook players, give them more time in the minors, let them go down and do really well in the AHL with the Hershey Bears. I'm excited to hopefully get out to a game this season, take my son. Tickets are unbelievably cheap. It's amazing trying to get to a game up in Hershey versus a game in DC. And I understand that, like, AHL and NHL, there's differences in level of skill and blah, blah, blah. But the Giant Center is a fantastic rink. And the Hershey Bears are a great team to watch. And hopefully, I'll get to actually see them win for once. Because I've never actually seen them win in person, and I've been to a handful of games. Which is annoying. Because they've been real close in a couple of those games. But going back to the roster, which is what we were talking about, or I was talking about anyway, since I'm essentially talking to myself. This was a team that we kind of knew what we were getting before training camp opened. Like, there are no real surprises. There were some that could have come out of camp, but there are no real surprises that were expected. There was no real opportunity for a guy. I mean, you're not going to say that because then to a young guy, because then what's, you know, he's going to show you something for the future, but you know he's not showing you something for now. But there was no real opportunity for LaPierre or Iorio to beat somebody out. In a couple of years, when we're out of, you know, 4 or 5 years, when we're out of the Ovechkin era, when we're out of Backstrom, the Young Guns era, when that is all said and done, that will be a time where we're like, you know what, we got most of these spots filled up, but there's a couple of guys here that, you know, someone from the minors or these free agents that we brought in, like, there's more opportunities for these guys to make a move. And if they come into camp and do real well, they have an opportunity to really do something here. But that's just not the case with this team as it's set up right now. We know essentially what this lineup is going to be, and what's been expected is what we've seen more or less throughout training camp and throughout the preseason games. Let's see if I can remember all the names. First line, you're going to have Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and likely Connor Brown. The second line is some form. It looks like it's going to be McMichael on the left, Strome in the middle, Oshie on the right. No, sorry, Mantha on the right. Third line, combination of Oshie, Eller, Marcus Johansson, probably Johansson, Eller, Oshie. Speaking of which, Oshie, who did not practice today after taking an injury, that's not good. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then the fourth line, I'm forgetting somebody, but you're going to have Dowd, you're going to have Hathaway, and there's maybe an opportunity for a guy like a Protas, Jansson Fjällby. I'm sure I'm forgetting. Oh, Sheary likely will be the guy getting that spot. And maybe there's a rotation between Johansson and Sheary in terms of third line, fourth line. The real question is going to be, is when Tom Wilson comes back, who's getting moved out of the lineup for him? Because I'm hoping it's not Connor McMichael, because I'm hoping that he's solidified his spot and earned the trust of Peter Laviolette to remain in the lineup night in, night out. So the question then becomes, who gets moved out off the top six? That's tough, because I don't know at this point. I mean, McMichael is kind of the most logical answer, but hopefully he's tearing it up so you can't. But then, like, do you move Mantha? That's a lot of cap money to be out of the top spot, or top six. You know, do you move Strome? No, because you really want him to work out, because you're not going to have Backstrom forever. And I keep thinking we may not see him this season, so I'm really hoping that Strome can come in and solidify as that second line center spot and tear it up, because he's still a young guy. Like, this guy's got plenty of years, ideally, left in the league. Let's look this up. But I believe he's only something like 25. He looks like he's 19, 25 years old. He'll be 26 in the beginning of March. So he's a young guy. He's got plenty of time left in this league. So they've got plenty of opportunities for this team to do well. I don't know. That's a good headache for this team to have, but that's a headache nonetheless for the coaching staff in terms of trying to figure out where does each one of these guys line up once Wilson is back and then Backstrom is back. Like, I could foresee a thing where, I mean, I kept saying this during the offseason or towards the end of last season. Like, do they move out a guy like a Lars Eller? Or, because I don't think you're going to move Dowd. Where's Backstrom going to play? You know, do you put Backstrom on the, do you bump Strome back a line? Backstrom on the third line? I don't know. Because, you know, he's very good defensively. You know, a lot of things can happen when these guys come back. I don't know. Right now, though, I do think this is a pretty good opportunity for this team. Are they one of the top teams in the Metro? No, they're not right now. That's the reality, but they could be, you know, but on paper, they're not, but the paper isn't necessarily what's going to be out there every night. So we'll see how that happens. But I do think that this is a good team. I think this is a team that's going to be able to make a nice run. I think this is a team that has the capability, and I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens when everybody's healthy. Hopefully, knock on wood, there's an opportunity for that to happen. But I think it'll be really good for this team when Wilson comes back. But it'll be interesting to see how they line up, because things start to get really tricky there. Because, again, on paper, they're a little overloaded in the top six. I mean, you've got eight guys for six spots. You know, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson, Brown, McMichael, Strome. There's nine guys for six spots. Mantha, Oshie. I'm forgetting somebody. It doesn't matter. The point is, there's a lot of guys for not a lot of spots, or not as many spots. And so it'll be interesting to see how that depth kind of plays itself out once everybody's back, assuming, of course, again, knock on wood, that everybody's healthy. So let's get into what I'm going to call my three on threes, and that is three things to look forward to this season and three concerns that I have going into the season, and then my sort of regular season prediction. We'll get to at the end of that. So the three things that I'm looking forward to this season, or looking forward to watching, are obviously, number one, Ovechkin chasing Gretzky. To be able to have a player, he's going to go number two. He's currently third. I knew that one. 780. He is 21 back from Gordie Howe. He should get there by what? January? If not earlier? You know, so maybe it's a little post-holidays present for Caps fans everywhere, seeing him move second all-time after passing Gordie Howe. And then it's, you know, how quickly can he get up to Gretzky? He's still 114 away from Gretzky. How much closer would he be without the lockouts and COVID? You know, that's a whole other thing. Can't change the past, is what it is. But he's definitely going to go number two this season. And to say that this, at least the guy who's the current third, going to be second, potentially top all-time NHL career goal scorer, played for the Washington Capitals, the team that I've supported since I was little, pretending to be Don Beaupre in this little red goal in my basement with my brother, who actually played hockey. I wasn't a goalie. You know, pretending I was a member of the Capitals. Like, to have a guy play for my team for so long, be this good, it's unbelievable, and it's unlikely that we'll ever have this again, or at least not for a very long time, for someone that has that level of talent. I mean, look at the years between when he was drafted, Crosby, and now. How many players can you say are as recognizable and dynamic. You've got Connor McDavid, who's best player on the planet right now, and probably Austin Matthews. And there's a lot of like guys whose names are coming up and guys who have that are incredibly good. And this is not me taking away from any of those players. Cale Makar to an extent, but defense never gets quite as much credit as they should. Even offense, Mike Green, for example. But Ovechkin was almost the full package in terms of marketing and skill, because he enjoyed the spotlight in a way that it didn't seem like Crosby necessarily did. Not that Crosby didn't like the spotlight, but he was kind of more of the like old-fashioned hockey player style, where he went in front and he did media and press and stuff, and he said the right things, and that's fine. Ovechkin was very much the showman. He was the one that was exciting in a way that he didn't make it just a sport. It was a show when he's out there. And to have him always be in a Capitals sweater is just amazing. And it's something that I don't think we'll see again. Yes, the Capitals will have very good players in the future. And they have other very good players now. Look at Nicklas Backstrom. This is a Hall of Fame level player that he doesn't care about the spotlight, which is why he doesn't have the same notoriety as a guy like Ovechkin, as a guy like, I mean, he's not as good as Crosby, but as a guy like Crosby. So, you know, as Caps fans, these last few years that we're going to get to have a guy like that wearing our sweater, enjoy it. And I think it's one of the things this season is just enjoy the chase for Gretzky. These things are not in order, and that should not be the number one goal of the team this season, to help him get closer. But it's something that's going to be talked about a lot, probably every time he scores a goal. Every time he's insert number here away from Wayne or whatever it is, you know? So you will hear that all the time. Second thing I'm looking forward to is the progression and continued growth of Martin Favari, whose name I still cannot pronounce correctly. But this kid is, I think this kid is someone who, you know, I don't know if it would be Carlson levels, but I think he has a really high future, a really great future in this league. Hopefully with this team, I'd love to see him continue to progress as a top pairing defenseman, because it's what they've kind of been looking for with Carlson. And I feel like every couple of years he gets a new partner for like a year or two. And then he's got to find someone else. They got to find someone else. And it'd be great to have this tandem for a good long while, because I got Carlson locked up for a good couple more years at high cap number. And I don't think he's necessarily going anywhere. I don't think they're going to trade John Carlson. So I'm really excited to see his growth continue throughout the rest of this season and see how he does, because I think he's just a really dynamic, very, really, really good player. And the third thing I'm really looking forward to is seeing how seeing all the new players. Darcy Kuemper is an easy one because he's the new goalie. He's coming off winning the Stanley Cup. You know, there's questions about his play when he was in Arizona, and, you know, can he replicate what he did last year with Colorado? I don't know. You know, there's questions about the team he played with in Arizona, and were they any good? Does that, you know, how does that make him look? But then also, how's he going to do without playing with a guy like Cale Makar and a really good Colorado team? I don't know, but it's not like the Caps are a bad team. So, you know, there are a lot of questions last year in terms of how far could this team have gone with better goaltending. We're going to find out. You know, obviously injuries and illness and other things can change that you can't necessarily avoid. But there's a real opportunity for this team to do something here with these new guys. Darcy Kuemper is one of them. But I'm really interested to see what we get out of Connor Brown and Dylan Strome. These are young guys that have a real opportunity here to make a name for themselves and for an opportunity for this team to kind of get a couple steals, you know, with they didn't spend a ton. I mean, a second round pick went one of them was a free agent, but they have an opportunity to really not find some diamonds in the rough, because they're both good players. I'm not doing a very good job describing it. I'm blaming the flu for this one. But this is an opportunity to bring in two players that, you know what, if they hit and they take off really well, these could be guys that could be here for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. You know, like a TJ Oshie. He wasn't our draft pick. Oshie didn't come through the minors. He didn't come through, you know, what was it, Reading at the time or South Carolina and then Hershey and then make his way into DC and become, you know, the young kid. He was already a known quantity when Oshie came. I mean, he just recently had his showing at the Olympics. And so this is an opportunity, not just for the Capitals, but for Connor Brown and for Dylan Strome to prove themselves to the Capitals and to the National Hockey League that they deserve to be in this league, that they can play at a high level. Brown's, you know, penciled in, you know, maybe even been that pencil's been written over by Penn at this point on that first line, at least until Wilson's back. And Strome on that second line. And I think they have a great opportunity and the Capitals have a great opportunity here. I think it's a medium risk, high reward thing. Cause if it doesn't work out, I think they're both on 1 year deals or at the end of their deal. I think, what was it? Brown was traded for, he think has 1 year left on his deal. Strome has, it was a 1 year deal. It doesn't work out. You let him go, you know, hopefully they can get you at least till Wilson. And if Backstrom comes back, so I'm really excited to see how these new players do with this team. Three concerns I have for this season. Obviously, the biggest one is going to be the age of the core of this roster and injuries. I mean, we're talking about Oshie. He's already, you know, he got hurt in the last game. You know, Oshie's up there in age. Ovechkin, Backstrom, we don't know if he's going to play this season. Everybody saying, he says he wants to come back. The team is assuming he's going to come back, but we never know. And the older you get, the harder it is for your body to recover from injuries and things that happen to you. And that's just reality. So that factor, I think Brandon and I talked about this in our last show. You know, you have a young team like the Rangers, a young team like Carolina, you know, they're going to have injuries, but younger players recover faster. Their bodies just recover faster for the most part. And so an older roster, the guy's going to be out longer. And so the age and the injuries are a concern. Second concern for me is Backstrom. I don't think he's going to play this season. And this is an incredible player for this team. Best center they've ever had in terms of points, probably in terms of reality, in terms of skill level. And so will he ever play for this team again? And that's really an unfortunate thing to say if it's not the case, considering the career that he's had. But it's a reality that we have to face that he might not be able to play again, which is why this bringing in a guy like Strome or McMichael stepping up into that center spot are so important because the team needs to be ready. And I have to imagine that they've already looked at the post Ovechkin Backstrom era and who are the next group of guys to step up. And obviously so many things can change and the guys to step up may not even be a part of this organization yet, being there in someone else's organization and they haven't been drafted yet, or they're just not here yet, but they have, you know, I have to imagine they have a plan in place, but the plan for this season, I'm guessing with the team involves Backstrom. My concern is that his body won't be ready to come back. And then my third one, I kind of already talked about is my third concern. I should say is that if the new players aren't working out, what do they do in terms of making changes? Because this is not a team that can afford to miss the playoffs. They've got too much money invested. They've got too much talent on the roster. And they've got a head coach that's not a coach for a rebuilding team. They don't have a roster for a rebuilding team. And they don't have the cap space to make a ton of moves. So if you have players that are not working out, that's harder to move them, especially if they're on a high caps, if they have a high salary cap hit, because another team's gonna be like, no, or we'll take them on, but you have to retain some of their salary, which doesn't really help the caps out in terms of freeing up cap space because they're either getting something garbage back or they're getting someone back that is a high cap hit while having to retain salary. That may not necessarily be the case, but the reality is, they don't have a lot of cap space or any cap space to really make any moves. So if these players don't work out, you know, for whatever reason that may be, that's a major problem because they don't have the flexibility to move things around. You know, you can always call up a guy like LaPierre and see if that works, but you can't necessarily sit someone in the press box and have just, you know, $1.5, $2, $2.5, $3 million sitting in your press box more often than not. You need that money for something else. You need that money for injury call-ups. You need that money for the trade deadline. You need that flexibility that they don't have right now. And so that's a concern that I have for this season. Well, that's my third concern, I should say, for this season. So three things I'm looking forward to: Ovechkin chasing Gretzky, Favari's continued progression, and seeing how the new players, Brown, Strome, Kemper, how they do. Three concerns: the age of the team and injuries to those guys, the core guys, anyways, Backstrom not returning, and the lack of salary cap space. And let's go into my end of regular season predictions. As anyone who's been kind of watching the, maybe not watching, listening to, watching, whatever, hockey pundits around the area, they're not giving the Caps a lot of credit. They're an aging team. That's not really anything new. We all know that. But there's a lot of conversations about how they're going to be, you know, they might make the playoffs, probably another first round exit. There's a reason that everyone seems to think that Peter Laviolette is one of the higher coaches on the, what, betting odds to be one of the first ones fired this season. I think that's fair. That is what it is. You have high expectations for a team like this. And if you're not getting the job done, the job that you're being asked to do, then you lose your job. That's how it works in society. So I do think that they're a better team that they're getting credit for. I think this is a team that is going to make the playoffs. I think they, if they do, if injuries are on their side, if illness is on their side, in terms of, you know, they get lucky with some injuries and things and they're minor or not very many or any, knock on wood, you know, they could end up second or third in this division and, you know, get themselves into a nice, good spot in the playoffs. You know, I think you want to end up second or third. I don't think you want to end up taking on the number one seed, be it from the Metro or from the Atlantic. And I think that's where they'll end up. My prediction is second or third in the Metro. You know, Carolina, I think, is the team to beat right now in this division. But I think the Caps are a good team, and I think that they're going to be a hard team to play against. And I think especially if Connor Brown and Dylan Strome really fit in well, then we're going to see, and Kemper does well, and what's his name, Lindgren as the backup. I really think we're going to see a solid team that's going to make a push to do something this season. So those are my predictions for the season. That's what I'm here to talk about. Hope you've enjoyed it. Brandon, back to you, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, that is the show for this week. I know it feels a little wonky. It's a little strange of how we're going to have to do this, at least for this week. But we love our Caps, and we try to dedicate as much time as we can to them. So go over to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we are always sharing any kinds of news and information we find about the Washington Capitals. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we do a show again. The Capitals open up their season on October 12th against the Boston Bruins at home in D.C. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch it nationally on TNT, the home of AEW Rampage. And then on Thursday the 13th, so close to Friday the 13th in October. How cool would that been? But anyway, Thursday the 13th, the Caps go international, going up to Toronto, up against the Maple Leafs. That game is at 7:30. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, October 15th, the Caps are up against the Montreal Canadiens at home in D.C. And you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And on Monday, October 17th, the Capitals welcome the Whale to town. They are up against Vancouver. That game starts at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.